So the Dallas Cowboys have had 8 one-and-done playoff appearances since the 1998 season. Y'all believe that? 8 one-and-done appearances. The last time the Cowboys were in an NFC championship game was in 1995. I was 1 year old. Yes, I'm putting my age out there. I was 1 year old the last time the Cowboys went to an NFC championship game. Wow. Now that's sad. I know one thing. Chiefs and Dolphins game on Saturday. Now, to even get me to even consider, I didn't say go, but consider going to that game on Saturday, man, you would have had to pay me billions. Not millions with an M, billions with a B to even get me to go. Negative 3 degrees, feels like negative 24, and you got the winds at 15 miles per hour, I'm good. Let me tell y'all something, I love my football. I do, but I love it from the comfort of my couch in my home with the heat on, okay? I am not a person that likes going to football games in person. Let me tell y'all a quick story. I'm going to open up with a quick story, okay? Last year, right, my sister, her and her friend are supposed to be going to go see the Eagles game. And long story short, something happened with the friend. She couldn't make it. She apologized. She couldn't get there. My sister already brought the tickets. She said, what am I going to do? I already bought 2 tickets. So she hit me up. Yo, B, come with me to the game. And I'm thinking, all right, well, it's early. It's early October, first weekend in October. So it can't be that bad. You figure winter's not really kicking up yet. We're still in our fall temperatures. Can't be that bad. But lucky me, of course, the weekend that the game was, on the same weekend the game was, we just had a hurricane that passed through the Caribbean. Winds were up, and it was raining. And I always tell people, listen, it's one thing when it's cold outside, okay? And you got to go, let's say you inside your house, you got to walk from your house to your car. That's one thing, okay? But it's another thing when you sit outside for 3 hours, still, not moving, not doing anything, and you're just sitting there in the cold. Let me tell you something, that's a whole different level of cold. That's a whole different kind of experience. Not my idea of a good time, but hey, I went to the game, made my sister happy. Would I ever go to a game again? Yes, but it probably will be preseason or early September. That's just my point of view. But anyway, welcome on in into 94 Feet, guys. What's going on, guys? It's your host, B.O.D.A. here with you. Hope you guys are doing well. Happy New Year to you. This is my first episode of the new year. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday season. Hope you guys are doing good. Hope your day's going well, man. Hope everything's cool, man. So I'm really excited to be over here, be on here again to share more content with you. As always, looking to bring new things to the show, add more to it, expand. Most of you guys know I've done a lot of basketball stuff going forward, but just expanding, you know, getting into other sports, getting into other topics. Talked a little bit about NIL last time and just women's college basketball. So, again, life is about, you know, looking to grow and expand yourself. You know, well, it can be if we make it that way. Not everybody does that. You know, but I'm certainly looking to grow in any way that I can. So, you know, definitely trying to include some more NFL stuff. So we're a little bit heavy on the NFL right now, considering we just opened up the playoffs this past weekend. So definitely want to get into just some of my thoughts in terms of what we saw this weekend. As always, if you're new to the show, hit the subscribe button. A lot of cool things we talk about on this show. Always looking to bring, you know, new perspectives, new things included. And I got some, you know, pretty cool content planned for you guys today in the gold segment right at the end, right before we head out. So let's go ahead and get right into what is on my mind. I'm going to go right to the Chiefs and Dolphins game since I already started talking about it. I'm telling y'all, to even get me to go to that game, we got to be talking billions, man. We got to be talking billions. There's no way you get me to sit out there in that cold. And that snowfall that I saw up in Buffalo, New York, where that game got canceled on Sunday, oh my goodness. I saw a video on Twitter, guys. It literally looked like there was a river of snow. I saw waves of snow in the field. I said, yo, was that a river? What? I couldn't believe that was a football stadium. I almost lost my mind. Then they had to get fans to come out there and shovel $20 an hour to fan. And people showed up and they shoveled it. Not me. I'll tell you that. You wasn't going to get me out there. Even if I lived in Buffalo, I still wasn't coming. Shoot. Anyway, Chiefs and Dolphins, guys. Guys, the Chiefs, they played exceptionally well. All right, Patrick Mahomes, he completed 56% of his passes. He threw for 262 yards. He had one touchdown. Rookie wide receiver Rashee Rice, I thought, played well. He also went out there and did what he's supposed to do. You know, I think he played exceptionally well. Was targeted 12 times, had 8 receptions, 130 yards total. You know, so give him his credit. He did what he's supposed to do. Travis Kelce, same thing, right behind him with 7 receptions, 11 targets. Running back for the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, he ran for 89 yards. He had a total of 24 carries. So I think, you know, this team showed up. They did what they're supposed to do. You know, and I think that one of the things you have to remember, guys, weather matters. It's talking about this Dolphins team, it's a big difference playing football in Kansas City versus South Florida in Miami, okay? I just went to visit a friend of mine 3 months ago who lives in Oklahoma. Kansas is literally right on top of Oklahoma. And I looked at the temperature last week, Saturday, before that game went on. In Oklahoma, it was 3 degrees on Saturday. So you can only imagine what Kansas felt like. Now, when I went to Oklahoma, that was not the temperature, if in case you wonder. When I went in early October, okay? It was probably about 60. Yeah, 55, right around there. It wasn't too bad. You know, it was livable. You know, that was my time to go. And that's part of the reason why I went in October, because I told him, I'm not coming to see you in January. I'm not coming. So I said, let's come now. I had a friend that lives out there. But anyway, different subject for another day. But yes, I thought the Kansas City Chiefs, they showed up and did what they were supposed to do. Now, the biggest thing that jumps out to me about this game is the team stats, okay? The Dolphins had no attempts in the red zone. Why do I bring that up? I'm going to transition to basketball for a second. The reason why I bring this point up about the red zone is, in basketball, one of the things that we really harp on is a team can come out there, they can run a play. A guy can go out there, he can make a $1 million move. But the most important thing is that you finish it. You got to get to the cup and you got to score. Or when you shoot your shot, you got to hit the shot. You got to finish the play, all right? The red zone, I look at it like the same way. In an NFL game, guys that win championships, guys that are successful, it's people who know how to get to the red zone and not just get there, but score in the red zone. That makes a big difference to me. It really does. You know, these are things that are important. I think about my high school basketball coach, Purvis Ellison, used to always tell me too, great players in the NBA know how to get to the free throw line. There are certain things when it comes to sports, guys, that make the difference between teams that are mediocre, teams that are championship caliber, and teams that, teams that just never win, teams who are not good at all. You know, to me, the red zone's important when you talk about the NFL. I think Kansas City defense did a good job limiting Miami's offense. They only scored one touchdown, you know, and it was by Tyreek Hill really early in the game, I think in the first quarter. I saw that one. So I think the defense did a good job. Tua, the quarterback for the Miami Dolphins, he completed 51% of his passes. He had one interception. Not the greatest game. I think Jalen Waddle, the other wide receiver for the Dolphins, had a relatively quiet game. Only had 2 receptions. You know, and I really question Miami's ability this year, guys. I really did. You know, because I look at their record. You know, and I watch some of the games that they played. Miami, at least from what I saw, this Miami team, they lost to teams that were playoff contenders or Super Bowl contenders. They beat up on teams that weren't contenders. You know, you look at some of their games this year. They lost to the Bills. They lost to my Philadelphia Eagles. They beat up on the Broncos. Where are the Broncos at? The Broncos are home right now. And that was a horrible game for the Broncos. I mean, I think they won like 70-20 or 71-20, something like that. Or 70-21. They won at least by 50 points. You know, but again, it makes a difference in terms of when you talk about a team's ability to be able to win, you know, and win something of, you know, something that's in terms of, you know, being able to win playoff games or being able to get to a Super Bowl. That makes a difference in terms of the level of competition that you're going up against, or your ability to compete with the higher levels of competition is really what I should say. So, you know, this Miami team, you know, the way that they played, it really didn't surprise me, you know. And on top of that, like I said, weather makes a big difference playing in South Florida versus playing in Kansas City. So, you know, we'll see what they look like next year. Moving on to my next topic here. America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, ladies and gentlemen, went home early again. They fell short to the Green Bay Packers. Now, a stat that I saw here on ESPN, let me pull this up for you real quick. I was looking at this the other day. So the Dallas Cowboys have had 8 one-and-done playoff appearances since the 1998 season. Y'all believe that? 8 one-and-done appearances. The last time the Cowboys were in an NFC championship game was in 1995. I was 1 year old. Yes, I'm putting my age out there. I was 1 year old the last time the Cowboys went to an NFC Championship game. Wow. Now, that's sad. That's sad, y'all. Cowboys finished with a 12-5 record this season. Their offense has been questionable, you know, all year long. But the defense is really what's been their identity. And the defense didn't show up. That's what's crazy. This team was known for their defense. Lawrence, that plays on the defensive line. Not Dexter Lawrence. What's his name? DeMarcus Lawrence. Trayvon Diggs, Leighton Van Der Esch. I mean, they had weapons. You know, I know some of these guys are hurt, but I'm just saying they had weapons on the defensive end. These guys didn't show up. And that's really what made it so mind-boggling. I mean, and, you know, Jordan Love played a relatively good game. I'm getting ready to pull up his stats here for you in a second. You know, and I think, again, it's one thing to lose a game, okay? Yeah, we know there's a winner, there's a loser. But sometimes it's the way that you lose is what blows people away, you know? They lost the game 48-15 at one point. Well, yeah, it was 48-15. They lost 48-32. But at one point, the score was literally 48-15. They were getting blown out. They were getting blown out. Dak Prescott looked rattled. When I say rattled, he looked scared. I mean, didn't look like he knew what he was doing. Didn't look like he necessarily was connected. You know, in terms of being able to, you know, lock in and produce the way that he needed to be. You know, it's crazy to me. It just really blows my mind away. You talk about somebody like Dan Quinn, their defensive coordinator for the Cowboys, who was considered, you know, a top option for head coach, you know, prior to that game on Sunday. Prior. I don't think that's the feeling right now throughout this week, and at least from what I've heard the last 2 days, Monday and Tuesday. I don't know. You know, we have to be able to see that wasn't necessarily putting your best foot forward in that that first round game, that wild card game. So, I mean, these Cowboys, they got a couple different things, and I'm getting ready to share some more here with you guys. Two great games this weekend by two young quarterbacks. Definitely got to give some credit to one, Jordan Love of the Packers, and number two, C.J. Stroud of the Houston Texans. You know, both of these quarterbacks had two identical games. C.J. Stroud finished with 274 yards, 3 touchdowns. He completed 76% of his passes, no interceptions. Jordan Love completed 76% of his passes. He threw for 272 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. You know, and I think both of these defenses for both of these teams, the Houston Texans and the Green Bay Packers, they showed up. You know, I don't have all the stats in front of me, but they showed up. I know both of these teams picked off at least two passes from Flacco, from Joe Flacco and also Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott almost threw 3 picks. The third one got dropped in the end zone. I can't remember who dropped it. But, you know, it's crazy. And these are two teams, not only just the Cowboys, the Browns as well were known for their defense. The defensive coordinator for the Eagles last year, Jim Schwartz, left Philadelphia to go to the Browns. So I know the defense for the Browns. You know, it's top notch. And we didn't necessarily see that on Saturday. So, I mean, both of these teams, man, they got the work cut out for them next week. You know, looking at the, looking at Green Bay, they'll be taking on the 49ers. And then you got the Houston Texans who will be taking on the Ravens. Both of these teams are number one per conference. So, you know, they'll have their work cut out for them in terms of, you know, trying to get a victory over those two teams, you know. I think if I had to pick one who I think is more probable to get a win, I probably would go with the Houston Texans. I believe the offense of the 49ers is just going to be too much for the Packers. I think it's going to be too much for them to try to contain. You know, I don't think that defense can repeat that level of performance that they had this past week with that 49ers team. Completely different animal. So, you know, and I think when things like this happen, going back to Dallas for a second, when teams lose like this, people start questioning, okay, do they get rid of Dak Prescott? Do they get rid of Mike McCarthy? Do they get rid of Dan Quinn? Well, I think it's different per person. Dak Prescott, I give him one more year. One more year, and if he has another season pretty much based in line with what we've seen with his career so far, I would say yes, it's time to consider either drafting a new quarterback or seeing what you can get by trading him. I think that's one thing I would look at with Dak Prescott. Dan Quinn, I mean, again, there were some guys that were hurt. I just don't think this was necessarily the best output in terms of, you know, I think his defense, this just was not a good reflection on him. Dan Quinn, I could understand that if Jerry and them decided to move on from him. Mike McCarthy's another one, too. I could see if they decided to move on. Here's the thing, though, about the head coach thing. Let me be honest with you. We can talk about, oh, they need to get a new coach in here. We need somebody who's more of an X and O's kind of guy. We need somebody who's going to be, you know, who's going to, you know, essentially put this team, you know, on the right path to win a Super Bowl. Yeah, that's all true. I agree with that. But let's talk about the main factor here, guys. Jerry Jones, who's the owner, likes to talk, likes to be on radio shows, likes to have his foot in the door. He's not just here just to own the team, but he wants to have a say-so in terms of personnel and things of that nature. Fine. It's your team. You do what you want. But at the same time, you look at a guy like Bill Belichick who's available right now. Yeah, Bill Belichick, he might be able to come in there and coach, but again, you have to be able to allow him to coach. Are you going to let him come in there and have full control over, like I said, putting in terms of you know, the players that are in there, the coaching staff, and all those things of that nature? Are you going to relinquish your control, Jerry Jones, over to whoever comes in there as your next coach if you were to get rid of a Mike McCarthy? And that I don't know. You know, and that's not a slight at Mike, but again, you know, you talk about the difference between what makes a team a championship team and what makes a team a just a good team that can go out there and win a couple playoff games. That's pretty much what the Cowboys are right now. They're not a Super Bowl team, you know, and they don't have Super Bowl culture. That's another thing, too. So, I mean, you know, but coaching is so vital, but I just don't know, like I said, where Jerry Jones is. I don't know if he's willing to give up some of that control. I don't know if he's willing to, you know, kind of take a step back from what we've seen over the past couple of years, you know. So it's really up to them. But, I mean, otherwise, the Cowboys will continue to repeat this cycle. And shoot, I'm gonna just continue to get older until they get back to another NFC Championship game. So we shall see what happens. Moving on to the next game here, the Detroit Lions, who captured their first playoff win since 1991. Wow, let me tell y'all something. I don't know. I'm not sure if you know, this success that this Lions team has had, you know, is contingent upon Dan Campbell and some of those words that he shared in his opening presser, talking about busting kneecaps and biting kneecaps off. I'm not sure. I know y'all probably think I'm playing with you. Let me play the sound for you real quick, just so you can have a quick listen.
Way to overcome adversity, all right? And so this team's going to be built on, we're going to kick you in the teeth, all right? And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off, all right? And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down, all right? And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap, and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing.
So that was Dan Campbell when he originally got hired as the head coach for the Lions. Yes, you heard him exactly. Bite kneecaps off, we'll get back up and bite another kneecap off. We're not going to stay down. Blah, 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 blah. So I just wanted y'all to hear it, just so you know I'm not making this stuff up. So I don't know if that's what's got this Lions team playing this inspired football that they've been playing. But hey, Dan, whatever it is, brother, it's working. It's working. I'm really happy for this organization. You know, I believe that they've been stuck in mediocrity for the last few years. If you look at the NBA team, the Pistons, not much there for a team to feel proud about in terms of their output and what they've been able to do. So, you know, I think definitely Dan Campbell has definitely put something special here together. You know, this team can play. You know, I think both teams had high expectations coming into this game for both the Rams and the Lions. We know that there's a little bit of history there in terms of trades that have taken place. We know both of these teams had drafted their quarterbacks round one. You talk about Jared Goff being drafted to play for the Rams. They went to a Super Bowl with him in 2019, ended up losing to Tom Brady and the Patriots. You talk about Stafford, who was drafted by Detroit. Both of these teams ended up training quarterbacks for each other. Stafford is now with the Rams. Goff is now with the Detroit Lions. Stafford and the Rams actually won a Super Bowl title against the Bengals. That was in February 2022. Goff and them are still looking, you know, for their own Super Bowl appearance. But again, this is a step in the right direction. As I mentioned before, this is their first playoff win since 1991. You know, so great game. You know, it was a pretty low scoring game. Detroit only won by 1 point, 24-23. You know, so I'm really interested to see what the Lions do to be going up against the Buccaneers this coming weekend. You know, I'll give the edge to the Lions. I think that they have the better team on both ends of the floor, defensively and offensively, against this Buccaneers team. You know, my Eagles are so washed out. We're getting it up to them in a second, guys. We didn't look good at all this year. Now, this Bills and Steelers game, this one to me, pretty simple. Now, Josh Allen's ability was never under speculation, okay? That was always clear. Now, what we didn't know is if he was going to show up on Monday in the fashion that he did. That really was the only thing we were trying to figure out. Okay, and that's just because Josh Allen has had some inconsistency. He's turned the ball over in other games and stuff like that in the past. So we just didn't know what version of Josh Allen was going to show up. But I thought he played well. You know, he ran the ball 8 times for a total of 74 yards. Bills running back James Cook ran for 79 yards. You know, Josh threw 3 touchdowns. You know, he scored 1 by himself, threw for 203 yards. You know, I thought the Bills pretty much went out there and, you know, they played great football on both ends of the floor. Now, the Steelers, I mean, they have a couple different issues going on. The main thing I'm really going to highlight, and I think something to just remember with the Steelers team, I think this Steelers team, they held on to a guy, a former quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, who's now retired. I think they held on to him for as long as they possibly could. You know, obviously trying to eke out as much as they could from his career, and also looking to see, you know, if that window for a Super Bowl was still open for them with him as their quarterback. And I think in that time that they went through in terms of trying to hold on to him, I think what they didn't come up with, what they weren't working on, was a backup plan for who was going to succeed Ben Roethlisberger. I think the Steelers need a new quarterback, you know, and this is not an indictment this is not a slight at Mason Rudolph, you know, but I don't necessarily think he's the right guy who's going to be able to get this team going to where they want to go. Mike Tomlin still has 1 year remaining on his contract. I think this team needs to look at it in terms of getting a different quarterback. Like I said, so somebody who is going to lead this offense in a way that, you know, we're accustomed to when you think about some of those great years with Ben Roethlisberger. So we'll see. You know, we'll definitely see what they do. Moving on to my Eagles, y'all. My Philadelphia Eagles, who took on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last week. We lost 32-9, as expected, for many people. I gave the Eagles a puncher's chance. And the reason why I said a puncher's chance is because this is the NFL. And it's one game, y'all. Anything can happen. Anything can happen. It's one game. You can go out there and play great and set the world on fire, or you can play horrible and be home. Eagles didn't necessarily play the best. We knew Hollywood Brown was out. A.J. Brown, we knew he was out. He actually had an injury from a couple weeks ago in one of the prior games. You know, but when I look at this Eagles team, if I'm being wholly honest with you, to me, this Eagles team, they didn't just lose on Monday when they took on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. To me, this Eagles team, they lost a few weeks ago when they played their first game up against the when they lost their second game of the season against the San Francisco 49ers. To me, that's really when this Eagles team started coming down. We've had issues all year on the defensive end. Offense hasn't been bad. Offense actually has been pretty good in terms of, you know, weapons. Jalen Hurts was playing, you know, pretty inspired football. Dallas Goedert, DeAndre Swift, Devontae Smith. Who else? Hollywood Brown, A.J. Brown. This Eagles team, I mean, they got weapons. They got weapons. But the biggest issue with this Eagles team is the defense, y'all. I mean, the defense, we've had issues. I can think back to week 2 when we took on the Minnesota Vikings. And that was a home game. And I saw, you know, moments where guys, again, were missing their assignments, not necessarily being where they were supposed to be. I mean, you got wide receivers catching passes wide open. Wide open. This game on Monday, they missed 10 tackles. Are you serious right now? 10 tackles? You didn't understand that tackling is an essential part of the game on defense? 10 tackles in a playoff game? I mean, that's not winning football, guys. It's not. It's not. You know, and I question Nick Sirianni. I don't necessarily know if Nick Sirianni is the best coach. I know this team's got two new coordinators, offensively and defensively. So, I mean, that's part of it. Like I mentioned before, Jim Schwartz is over in Cleveland now. So, I mean, you know, I understand that that's part of it. I wouldn't necessarily give up on Hurts. I think Hurts has got a lot of promise, you know, but I think it's also about getting the right kind of coach in there, the right kind of coordinator who's going to be able to help lead that offense in a way that it needs to go. I've heard, you know, I know Bill Belichick's on the market. I would like Bill Belichick to come in there. I would love that. Oh, yeah. I think that would be great for us. But ultimately, we'll see. I think this Eagles' biggest issue, like I said, is the defense. You know, James Bradbury, Darius Slay, there were games where they were on, but there were also many games where they were off. You know, our secondary, you know, just didn't look as polished as need be. Again, when you talk about winning Super Bowls, when you talk about winning playoff games. So, Eagles going to have to get that thing cleaned up. Let me also just give some last piece here before we jump over to our crunch segment. I just want to touch on this national championship game that occurred last week, Monday. The Michigan Wolverines secure their first national title since 1977. They took down the Washington Huskies 13-37. Michigan's defense, guys, was out of this world. Was excellent. You know, Michael Penix Jr., who's the quarterback for the Huskies, is known as being a slinger. Kid can throw the football, guys. They did a great job in terms of not allowing him to get comfortable in the pocket. They rushed him all night. Rushed him all night between Michigan's running back Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards. They led the rushing attack offensively for the Wolverines. Each one of them had two touchdowns apiece. There was a huge discrepancy in the rushing yards for the team stats, guys. Michigan had 303 rush yards compared to Washington's 46. That's it. So Michigan was in control the whole game, guys. You know, I thought they won the game fairly, you know, considering some of the issues that we talked about earlier this year. We know that they had the issue with the sign scandal in terms of them, you know, taking signs from the other team and having somewhat of like an unfair advantage. You know, I thought they pretty much won the game fairly, and we know that that was actually dissolved before 2023 ended. I would say now, the one thing that everybody's talking about the most, Jim Harbaugh, where does he go now? What does he want to do? Well, I think it depends on what he wants. So you just won a national title. You could clearly stay here and continue to lead this program if you want. You know, make your money, be comfortable, be happy. You've won a championship here, a national title. That's one thing. Or you could go to the NFL and try to repeat what you've done before. Try to get to a Super Bowl and win it this time. Because he's already been to one Super Bowl. You've already been to three NFL conference championships. You know, so you could go out there and try to build your resume some more. If I'm him, I take the risk. I go to the NFL. Right now, I just won a title. People are going to be willing to pay me. I've showed promise. I've been in the NFL before. Like I told you, he's already been to one Super Bowl. He's already been to three conference championship games. So I would take my chances if I'm Jim Harbaugh, and go out there and see what I could get for an NFL coaching job as a head coach. I would do it. So we'll see what happens with him. Another thing I just want to touch on here real quick, Nick Saban, head coach of the Alabama Crimson Tide, is officially retired. He decided to step down. Well wishes to him. You know, a wonderful career, guys. This is a wonderful career of 17 seasons. Finished with a record of 206 wins to 29 losses. Won 9 SEC titles. 6 national championships with the Crimson Tide. He won one with LSU even before that, before he got to Alabama. And that was when I know Marcus Spears, that works at ESPN, was a former player of his at LSU. So, you know, I think this is a great career, man. Nick Saban's in his 70s, guys. What else is there to do? So I think, you know, he should definitely be happy with just some of the success he's had. You know, the players that have come to his program. Don't know much about him, but I would definitely say the vibe that I get when I look at Nick Saban is a guy who was more than a coach, you know, but somebody who was a friend, somebody who attempted to be a father figure to his players. Didn't say he was perfect. I'm pretty sure he has his own fault, just like the rest of us. But, you know, you look at what that program is, you know, all the history behind them and just their success that they've had over the years. You know, definitely Nick Saban has a huge part to do with that. You know, your coaching and your leadership is so important. Washington Huskies coach, the guy that just competed against Jim Harbaugh in the national title last week, Monday, Kalen DeBoer, is going to be the person that's going to be succeeding Nick Saban as the next head coach in Alabama. He took the position. He's now been coaching for 4 seasons. You know, before Washington, he was at Fresno State, then Washington. Now he's going to be in Alabama. He's got big shoes to fill. Big shoes to fill here in Alabama. But as I mentioned before, just led Washington to a national title last week, Monday. So he definitely knows a thing or two about college football. You know, so we'll see what he does. We'll see what he does going forward. All right, y'all, welcome on into our crunch time segment. So a couple different things I want to get into here. A lot of different things here in the NBA I just didn't really get to in the first segment. So you got the Los Angeles Clippers. Have they figured things out? They're currently 23-7 over the last 30 games. Well, they look good. I'll be honest with you. They're playing great basketball right now. They look good. I give a lot of credit to Russell Westbrook. We've talked about him before. His accepting of coming off the bench and taking somewhat of a lesser role for this team to be successful. So I give a lot of credit to them. James Harden looks great. Kawhi Leonard's playing basketball. He's playing, y'all. He's not hurt. He's playing, thankfully, and let it continue as such. However, there's one thing I look at that makes me feel a little uneasy. Mr. James Harden. James Harden looks good right now, y'all. But guess what? James Harden has always looked good in the regular season in the past. I don't necessarily know if he's that guy that's got that edge to put this team over the top. I don't know. So that's the one thing I question. I'll see it when I believe it. They got to get into the playoffs, and James Harden's going to have to prove me wrong because I've seen too many repeat episodes of him in the playoffs of coming up short. So that's when I believe it. That's when I believe it is when I can see it. Are the Sixers title contenders? Contenders? Yes. Going to an NBA Finals? Remains to be seen. Joel Embiid is playing MVP-type basketball. Tyrese Maxey is probably in the running for the best, you know, number two mate right now in the NBA in terms of a secondary option for a team after an MVP like Joel Embiid. Both of them are playing excellent basketball. The role players look great. Kelly Oubre, Marcus Morris, Nicholas Batum, Patrick Beverley. All right, Paul Reed. This Sixers team looks great. The one factor I'm looking at right now that could put them in the conversation for an NBA Finals, to even get to an NBA Finals, okay? Mr. Tobias Harris. Tobias Harris has been playing great basketball. He just had 38 last week Friday against the Kings. He's been playing great basketball, and there was no Joel Embiid last week Friday either. Been playing great basketball. If Tobias Harris can continue to play at the way that he's playing right now, he looks like a completely different player because when Doc Rivers was there for those 2 to 3 years, I mean, he pretty much was non-existent in the offense. There wasn't really much being ran for him. But Nick Nurse has kind of, you know, revitalized that role that he's in. He's playing the power forward position and as a regular piece in his offense. If Tobias Harris can continue this level of play that he's playing at right now, this Sixers team could actually get to an NBA Finals. I give it to him. I mean, they look that good. You got the trade deadline coming up in 2 to 3 weeks. Yeah, you could trade and see what you could get. But also, you got to always remember, too, whatever you give up, you also got – for you to get something, you also got to give up something. So if you like the role players that you currently got, if you like your core that you currently have, I say take your chances and let's see what Tobias Harris does. He's the one person I'm looking at. I'm not concerned about Maxey. I'm not concerned about Embiid. They just got to stay healthy, obviously. But Tobias Harris, it's sitting in your hands right now. Where's your head coach Bill Belichick want to go? I say Chargers or Eagles. Two great teams, two young quarterbacks, Justin Herbert and Jalen Hurts, that clearly can play, you know, could really benefit from better coaching, could really benefit from talk about somebody like Justin Herbert. I think it really benefit from a person like Bill Belichick with that level of experience. You know, you talk about the things that he did with Tom Brady and all those great years in New England. I say Chargers or Eagles. Not sure about the Dallas position. I know everybody's talking about Dallas, but I echo the same sentiments I said before. When you talk about Dallas, is Jerry Jones going to relinquish and release some of that control and really let Bill Belichick have full control? I don't see that. I don't see it. So I don't know if Dallas is the best position. Some people say they think it'll work. We'll see. I don't know. We'll see what happens as time goes on. Your thoughts on the New England Patriots' new coach, Jared Mayo. Well, first of all, congratulations to Jared Mayo. He was a team captain for 7 consecutive seasons. He spent his entire career with New England as a player. In 2009, he began his coaching career. I like the fact that they kept the hiring in-house, guys. That's the one thing I would definitely say about this one. Kept the hiring in-house, and they went with somebody who knows the culture of the Patriots. 7 consecutive seasons as a captain, well, that tells me about your ability to lead, okay? That tells me about, you know, what they saw in you, and especially under somebody like Bill Belichick, we know what his focus is when you talk about playing championship football. When you talk about playing Super Bowl caliber type football, so... I mean, really, it remains to be seen. This is a guy who was a linebackers coach for the Patriots. You know, we'll see pretty much what he produces in this upcoming season. Right now, I don't have much more to say on that one other than that. So, we'll see. Who's got a bigger problem to solve right now, the Golden State Warriors or the Milwaukee Bucks? This is a tough question, y'all. First of which, let me start out by just saying well wishes to assistant coach of the Golden State Warriors who passed away yesterday, Dejan Milojevic. Excuse me if my pronunciation is not correct. Passed away yesterday due to a heart attack. They said they were at a team dinner in Salt Lake City. Began to have an issue, was rushed to the hospital, and did not make it. So I'm not really too familiar with this coach, but I do recognize that, again, this is an assistant coach. And I just think big picture. This is probably somebody's spouse. This was probably somebody's father, somebody's friend. This was obviously somebody's coach. This was somebody's brother. This was somebody's, you know, it could have even been a grandfather. I have no idea, you know, but this was definitely a loved one of somebody. And we know that when somebody passes, deaths are never easy. It impacts everybody and all people that are connected to that individual. So definitely just thinking about the Warriors, thinking about all the family and friends that were impacted by this. And again, just wishing, just sending well wishes, you know, to all those that were connected to him. Now going back to basketball for a second, who's got the bigger problem? I'm going to say the Warriors right now at this moment. I watched the Warriors play on Monday at MLK Day. They went up against the Grizzlies and they lost that game. They lost that game. Guys, there's no John Morant. He's going to be out for the rest of the season. No Marcus Smart, no Derrick Rose, no Jordan Clark, Steve Adams. All these guys are out right now. And they lost the game. It was Draymond Green's first game back from his suspension. We know that he missed a couple weeks due to the issue with Yusuf Nurkic towards the beginning of December. It's his first game back. I'm looking at this Golden State Warriors team, and I just don't see championship-level basketball. I don't see it. I don't know what the issue is. There's clearly a disconnect. You know, I think the Warriors have also had some issues in terms of you know, their plan for the future. You know, I think that this is a team that really was thinking they were going to hand the torch to Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole and James Wiseman. Well, that didn't work out. Two of the three are already gone and been traded somewhere else. Andrew Wiggins looks like a shell of himself. I have no idea who that is out there playing basketball. You know, they got a big issue. They really do. Steph Curry's still playing, you know, championship level basketball. And it's really unfortunate because, again, it feels like such a waste of his greatness and of his talent when you look at what the Warriors have been holistically as a team. Klay Thompson is not the same player, guys. I talked to my uncle the other day, and we were just talking about his game. And we were just saying his game has always truly been one-dimensional. You know, like you said, if he wasn't shooting, what else really was Klay doing? You know, his shooting has not really been the same since he's come back from this injury. So I'm not really too sure. You talk about Draymond Green, who's essential, you know, more so to a guy like Steph Curry in terms of being able to set him up and orchestrate and get guys in place. But again, Draymond Green has got to be able to show people now that he knows how to conduct himself in such a way that's not going to get himself kicked out off the floor. You know, he's got to have guys to be able to, he's got to, you know, give people something to be able to trust in. So we'll see. We'll see. I mean, like I said, these Warriors got to be able to, they got a couple different issues here they need to work out. I think their issue is bigger than the Bucks. Now the Bucks, their biggest issue is their coach. Adrian, I forgot his last name. I just don't have it in front of me at the moment. But their coach is the biggest issue. This team has the personnel. They're just not winning games right now. Adrian Griffin is the coach's full name. This team, you have Damian Lillard, you have Giannis, Chris Middleton. This team is well put together. You have a Jay Crowder. There's a bench. There's Bobby Portis. They just need to figure out. First of which, they got to be able to learn to play some defense. Mike Budenholzer always had this team playing inspired defense, and we don't see that right now. So that's the number one thing I'm going to say. You know, after that, you got to create some kind of structure in your offense. I think there needs to be more plays ran for like a Damian Lillard. I think Damian Lillard has to be looked at as the guy who's going to be your closer for your team. Giannis, again, I think if I'm – how do I use Giannis? I think Giannis is a person where – if he's not on a fast break and a half-court offense, I want little small actions where Giannis flashes to the foul line, catches, makes a move, and goes right to the basket. I don't want to see Giannis with the ball out at the three-point line. I don't want to see that. To me, that's not winning basketball for this team. So I think this head coach for the Bucks, if he don't figure something out quick, he might be gone before April, guys, before we even get to the playoffs. I mean, because the Bucks look awful right now. I was just watching them play before I started doing this podcast. I was putting my content together for what I wanted to share with y'all right now. I'm looking at the score. They're taking on the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, Giannis is out, but regardless of that, the whole team is there apart from Giannis. They were down 2-22 in the first quarter, halfway into the first quarter with 5 minutes left to go. And I'm sitting here saying to myself, what is going on? I can't believe it. I can't believe it. So this Adrian Griffin, man, you got your hands full, brother. You're going to need to get this thing figured out. All right, guys, welcome on into the goal segment. With MLK Day just passing 2 days ago, I just wanted to shed some light on that, take some time to think. First of which, you know, I think about Martin Luther King Jr., who, you know, on the surface, people recognize as a person who did a lot for those in the African-American community, a person who believed in striving for equality amongst all, you know, here within our country. And, you know, I definitely am appreciative of that. Let me tell you guys, in my eyes, I live such a blessed life, you know, and I'm a person that each and every day my eyes open up in the morning. I am just reminded of the wonderful life that I get that I get an opportunity to live. I think about the ancestors that were here before me of my own and what their lifestyles were like. I think about the opportunities that I have as an African-American male in the United States of America that my ancestors did not have. And let me tell you something, I am so grateful for where I am, and I do not take that for granted, you know. And I think about people like Martin Luther King. You know what else I think about too, if I can be honest with you, is I think about the people who we don't know about that also were just as close with Martin Luther King, or who also were, if not in line with Martin Luther King, but had this same objective, of fighting for equality, fighting for justice, fighting for this peace, you know, in our country, you know, of all different odds. And again, we just don't know about them because, you know, they weren't on the same tier as like a Martin Luther King, or maybe they weren't connected with him or things of that nature. I think about all those people, you know, again, that we just don't know about today by name that believed in this, you know. And I think about big picture, the idea of one who would give their life for the betterment of another, you know. So my subtitle for today's goal segment, I'm calling it Putting Others First. Putting Others First. You know, when you talk about putting the life of another person before yours, what are some words that come to mind for me? Sacrifice. It's going to cost you something. Never spoke to Martin Luther King before, was never with him. But I can tell you, when you think about some of the things that he may have done, it cost him something. It cost him his life, if we're going to be honest. He was murdered. It cost him something in terms of being able to strive, again, for equality, strive for peace, you know, amongst all people, you know, in this country, you know, and others, again, as I mentioned before, there's other people I just don't know about, other people we don't know about, because again, maybe they didn't get the same kind of press recognition as a Martin Luther King as well. But sacrifice, giving something up so the life of another could be better than yours, cost him something. I think about being a dreamer, you know, learning how to see things before they actually become a current reality, learning to see a new reality versus what you currently have in front of you. You know, internally, you got to be a dreamer as well. If you're going to be able to put others first, if you want to be able to see progression, you got to be a dreamer, you know. And another word here I want to share with you guys, I say, you got to be willing. You got to be willing. The results per person will continue to vary, you know, because not everybody has the same, if you want to say advantage, or the same, you know, upbringing or things of that nature. So that's a big factor. But the one thing I will say is, if you're willing, You have an opportunity to yield results. You know, now the kind of results that you yield, like I said, will continue to vary per person. But being willing to get out there, being willing to get out your comfort zone, being willing to put somebody else before yourself, put somebody else's well-being, put somebody else's thoughts, put somebody else's life before your own. Being willing. I was watching a pregame show yesterday, on Monday, the pregame show prior to the NBA games that were on for MLK Day. So the NBA, they always put games up for MLK Day. So I was watching Ernie and Shaq and Chuck, and I believe Candace was filling in for Kenny Smith that day. And they had shared a tweet from Martin Luther King and Coretta Scott's, one of their children. I can't remember which one it was. But she said, as much as you guys, and I don't even know if this tweet was from this year, it may have been from a year in the past, but she shared a tweet where it says, as much as you guys remember my father on a day like today, please also remember my mother, you know, who was another person who fought and really strived, you know, for equality amongst all, you know. So going back to this idea of, you know, putting others first, you know, is what I think about when I think about Dr. Martin Luther King. You know, again, I think about the life that I have, the blessed life that I have as a result of those who believed, who pushed, who didn't necessarily know me, but knew that I'd be here and wanted me to have a different reality. Putting others first, dreaming, being willing, sacrifice. That's what I got for you guys today on the Lion segment. So put others first, think big picture, see it internally, and make it become a present reality. That's what I got for you. So I hope you guys had a wonderful MLK Day. For those of you that did have off, hope you took some time for just reflection. And even if you didn't, you can still do it now. Why not? What's stopping you? What's holding you up? So this has been 94 Feet. Again, for those of you guys that are new to the show, hit that subscribe button. Definitely we'll be back with more content in the future. We got the divisional round matchups coming up this weekend, so make sure you stay tuned in for that. I'll be locked in. Definitely going to be trying to get some more content to you guys this coming week based off of my reactions to our games this weekend. So hang in there. I'll talk to you guys soon.